He didn't usually put the sisters in. It was his older brother, his younger brother, and Bill and me. Yeah, it was that last. Well, I no, actually, it was just realizing how old Mike is this morning just put me way over the edge, brother. Ephesians 6, verse 2. Okay, let's just read. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5. Strangely says the opposite. For every man or every individual, it's not man, not male, shall bear his or her own burden. So in one passage, we're told to bear one another's burdens. In the other passage, we're told everybody has to bear his or her own burden. I'm going to speak on that on a Sunday sometime in the future. But we're going to look at this when it comes to parenting this morning. We're going to talk about choices. I had a whole beautiful illustration to tell. And then I realized I'm going to tell a story that's not my story this morning, which I never do. It comes directly out of a book. And it's the best story I've ever read on the subject we're going to talk about. So I'm going to more or less read the story of what we're talking about when we're talking about teaching your kids how to make choices and how that happens and how we do that. Because unless you want your children to live at home when they're 50, please look at me, and I have relatives like that, or you want your children to be incompetent at age 50, living with someone else, not paying bills, what your goal is to take a child that has no ability to make choices, and by the time they're somewhere 18 to 22, somewhere in that range, they have the ability to make decent, rational, hear the language, rational, godly choices. And that's not real easy. Otherwise, my Christian aunt wouldn't have her children living in the basement smoking dope, drinking beer, and other stuff at 50. They're over 50 because I'm over 50. By the way, it's a little embarrassing. Did you know that? So if you're a parent that doesn't have any clue what I'm talking about, or if you do, this is a good day to start to understand what your goal is to take that child from no choices to really making good choices. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable time. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. To get prepared for this Sunday school time, I decided to do the unthinkable. You know what I decided to do? I'll wait till everybody gets settled in. I decided to not teach anything I have ever taught before. I told someone recently, I could teach on child rearing for the next 2 years from notes that I have taught before in this church. I decided to start from ground zero. I read 5 or 6 books on the history of marriage, which I'm not even going to talk about. I read dozens of books on child rearing because I wanted to come at this just in a new way. One of the books I read was by Dr. Henry Cloud, a book called Boundaries in Children or something like that. I don't know what it's called. The book is just okay. Dr. Henry Cloud begins his book with this. Can you all listen? I know people are getting here. Dr. Henry Cloud, he says, I was visiting some friends. Their name was Allison and Bruce. During the dinner, towards the end of the dinner, Allison, the wife, left the dinner table. Dr. Cloud and Bruce continued to talk for a while, and then after a while, a telephone call came, and Dr. Cloud's friend, Bruce, went to answer the telephone. So he was there in somebody's house doing nothing, so he heard the wife working in another room, so he thought, maybe I'll go back and see if I can help her. So Dr. Cloud says he got up, and he went where he heard the wife working or doing something, and the wife was in the 14-year-old son's room. The son's name, and this is the story, was Cameron. So he went into Cameron's room where the lady, Allison, was working, and she was in Cameron's 14-year-old room putting away the clothing, making his bed, and picking up his sports equipment. And Dr. Cloud asked Allison, his friend, a question. What are you doing? I'm going to answer you the question again. What are you doing? She says, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm cleaning up Cameron's room. And he looked at her and he said again, you're what? She said, I told you, I'm cleaning up Cameron's room. Why are you looking at me like that? Dr. Cloud said to her, this is in his book, by the way, I'm reading the exact story. He said, I really feel sorry for Cameron's wife in the future. Parenting is about a lot of things. One of the things it's about is taking a little child and having that child grow up. By the way, I can tell what kind of family you grew up in by taking you to McDonald's tonight. If you grew up in a controlling family, you're going to struggle to make decisions of what to eat at McDonald's or whether you want to go to McDonald's. It's like so many choices, which means somebody hasn't taught you how to make choices as a child. Pro-choice parenting. I choose the title, obviously, on purpose. Pro-choice parenting. In your notes, what is at the core of all of this? Well, here's what's at the core. There are two pieces. And I'm going to put both pieces up here because there's really two sides to this. I don't think I list how I call them. Yes, I do. There's, first of all, an understanding of parenting. And I wish this was all this was. There's an understanding of parenting as one side of the struggle that we have with teaching children how to make choices. The other side, I already have it in your notes, there's the day-to-day reality. And unless you were born under a rock or you're lying to yourself, those two don't always go together real well. Why do you think that the mother, all right, before we go, I want a lady to answer. Why do you think mom was picking up Cameron's stuff? Ladies, raise your hand. Emily. There you go. No conflict with Cameron. Mom's happy. Cameron's happy. Dad's happy because he didn't hear any yelling. And guess what? Everybody's happy until Cameron has to start making choices. And then everybody's wondering, why can't Cameron make choices? Why isn't he responsible? Why is he still living in the basement? Or the basement of somebody else's house? Well, somewhere along the line, these two ran into conflict, and which one won? Yeah, in your notes. An understanding of parenting. The understanding of parenting, this is really simple, folks. A child moves from this. When that child comes home, it's from control. You're in control to, how do I state it? Self-control. That's kind of the direction you're trying to take your children. It's the direction, by the way, when you counsel people, you don't counsel religion, you counsel reality. You're trying to take that child to the place that child can get to be self-controlled and make intelligent, rational, godly decisions. I keep emphasizing rational because in church, a lot of Christians are very irrational, calling it godly. They're not the kind of decisions that click in your brain. So you want to take that child to that. Next. Obviously, the child comes from being helpless and helped because you got to help that child. And boy, every time my grandson comes up to our house, I realize how true this is. I have conveniently forgotten all of that. You know, I love my children, but I loved them more when they were potty trained. It's like, your three children are all potty trained with the first 6 weeks? They start out very helpless and need to be helped to where they're able to help themselves. This is not real hard, folks. I'm not trying to say anything real provocative here. You understand this. This is what you're trying to do. Next in your notes. I don't think I'm going to write the next one. They start with no choices. By the way, when a child is born, they have no choices. That's the way it should be. To the freedom to choose wisely, biblically, rationally. Now, I'm going to say this again before we go any further. What you're going to find in this room and in this church, and you know, how do you know this? Been pastoring a long time. It doesn't make any, if I left here today and went to another church, guess what I would find? Two kinds of parents. One group wants to control their children and everything about them. Their children struggle as an adult making choices. It's either from control issues or chaos issues, and sometimes those are the same. On the other side, the three-year-old's making a choice about what they eat. I had a friend that his family, not him, but his sister and her husband, he went to visit. Bob Scott was his name. He said, we got up for breakfast. The kids came down and took their cereal, sugar cereal, poured it in a thing, and went to the refrigerator and got a Pepsi, opened it up, and poured it on it. Shouldn't children make their own choices at 3, 4, 5? That was a factual story. That's not a pastor story. Okay, but then there's that day-to-day reality. And none of you have this problem except maybe Champagne. I don't know. 3 boys are pretty much perfect, I think, the last time I looked at them. And here's the reality. Emily's already given some of it away. What's the easiest for mom today, right now? Right? I'm going to ask you a question. This is not a criticism. I don't want you to go to talk to my wife afterwards. Why couldn't my wife cook when she got married? Look me in the eyes. Answer the question. It was the second one. What's quickest for the mom? And what is quickest for the mom? Do it yourself. It's hard to teach children how to cook. It's hard to teach children how to make decisions. And if you happen to come from a... And these things, it's strange. Control people and chaos people tend to be the same people because these come from very similar sources. So it's just a whole bunch easier. I'll do the cooking. Here's a weird thing. I go home to my mom, not now. She can't cook because of her hands very well, but my two sisters, and they all go into the kitchen and cooking, laughing, carrying on, having a good time. I'd go to my mother-in-law's. There'd be stress, anger, bitterness. And I'm like, you're cooking food. Don't you do this every day? We pretty much cook every day. What's all the anger for? Who is in control? Of cooking? It's food. So, what's quickest for mom? Well, I think you know the answer, don't you? It's much easier just to do it yourself. Well, at least earlier on. Next. What causes less conflict? And by the way, don't kid yourself. This right here is a big piece of this whole puzzle. Most people live their life to avoid conflict with their children. Some people in this room have been reading James Dobson's book, Strong Willed Child. I like the book, but I want all of you to hear there's only one thing you need to learn from the book, and you can learn it from Pastor Warren today. I don't care how strong-willed your children are. There just needs to be one person in the family with a... It's all it takes. No child's going to be stronger willed than me. And that has nothing to do with control, because if you think I'm a control person, by the way, if you think I'm a control person, I can already tell you something about yourself. You're the control person. Because if I have a weakness in leadership, I don't control things enough. Whew. Next, what makes Junior or Sissy happy? Right now, right here. That's the day-to-day reality. Now, parents, is this correct? Really what drives the engine is you can know what's right, and we're going to talk about what's right, but when the smoke clears, unless you're willing to have some conflict, unless you're willing to say, well, I know it's hard today, but it's going to be easier for Junior in the future, if you're not willing to do that, your children will grow up immature, can't hold a job, can't work, can't function. And it's your job. By the way, your job is to take that precious little baby. And about 18 to 22 years later, that precious little baby goes on and moves on with their life. That's your job. But this right here is tough. And by the way, we're just talking about the child rearing. What if the mother works and the father works? And most fathers, with the exception of 2 or 3 dads, are worthless with children. I mean, I look around this room, not mad at anybody. There's only 2 or 3 or 4, maybe 4 or 5 parents that I think the men are good fathers. Some of them are good fathers when the kids get older. That's me. So the burden almost always rests with, be honest, it rests with the mother. And the dad usually is too passive. Television, entertainment. All right, in your notes, pro-choice parenting. Here's where we begin, and I'm going to quickly move through this material. Child begins life with no choices. And I want to say this clearly. It's important that a parent knows this philosophically in your heart. Because what you're going to find, and it's not in the notes, you need to write it someplace. Parents that are dysfunctional give little children all the choices in the world, and when the child gets older, then they try to strangle those choices. You need to recognize when a child's born, they should have no choices because they're helpless. So it's the weird thing, we give little kids all kinds of choices, and then when they get to be 14 and they're acting like an idiot, we try to rein it in. You got it on all backwards, folks. Children start with no choices. In your notes, child comes into this life 100% dependent on mom and dad. The child has no choices, obviously. This goes on, and this is where I'm not a prophet. This is not in the Bible. So I'm going to guess this goes on to about age 3, and for some children, age 4 or 5, meaning almost no choices at all. My way of thinking with our children, and understand, I have a daughter that can make decisions. Hello? And has always been able to, and John can. They were both capable at about age 3 of starting to make some pretty serious choices and decisions and doing things. Some children might be a little later, males especially. Males develop later. I think most of us know this. Girls develop earlier. Girls are smarter, taller, faster, more mature at an early age. You got 3 sons. I'd feel sorry for my grandma had 9. So, you know, just think about that. Just think about the food bill. Yeah. In your notes. So you understand, 0 to 3 or so. Maybe a few before, I doubt it. 4 and 5, you definitely want to start giving choices to. So this is what I mean by that, friend. No choices in these areas. Sleep. Mom and dad set the sleep schedule for a child. 2-year-olds don't tell you when they want to sleep. You decide those sorts of things. Behavior. Food. Unless the child is allergic to food, your children grow up eating everything. This is, if you do this, please forgive me. Children eat, period. Shut up. I could preach for an hour on this point. I meet adults that spend most of their life thinking about what they're eating. It's food. You'll eat tomorrow too. Who cares? That's what's important to us. Food and TV. At an early age, child eats what's given them, unless they're allergic, obviously. I shouldn't even need to say that. Activities and obedience. If a child grows up in the first 3 or so years, learning to be on a regular sleep schedule, and you all already know, I think the most important thing for a child is a happy, consistent bedtime. And I actually think the most important thing for you is a regular, happy, consistent bedtime. And this guy here can give you the information if you want to learn about that kind of thing from the business world, where people go to sleep 8 hours different on Friday night because you're not working on Saturday. Crazy stuff. So once you set these up, this is what it does. It helps the child learn, first of all, it helps them learn obedience. Second thing, you say, why? Child just learns when we put food on the table, you eat the food. Look at me. Is that a simple thing? Now here's the problem. Our buddy Leo is in the Navy. Now, Leo was trained this way, I can tell. But think about kids that aren't. You go into the Navy, do you think they say, no, what would you like? It's like, all you guys that were in boot camp in the military, do you not remember the struggles people had? What were the struggles? Dumb stuff. If you don't learn obedience as a child and learn to eat what's set before you, You just know how to obey and shut up. So you don't like the food. Who cares? A lot of guys have problems. Next. This is something that I think is important to learn, and I think most children learn it the first 3 to 5 years. Openness. Or I'm going to use three words. Flexibility. Or contentment. We're having filet mignon tonight. Do you know how many times in my married life I've had filet mignon? Look up here. How many times? I've had it before marriage twice, and I've had it when I went to Fogo de Chao once. And we went to Las Brasas twice, and they had it there. So I have had filet mignon 1, 2, 3, about 5 times in my life. By the way, any child can be happy if you're feeding them like that. How many of us can afford that? A child needs to learn to be open. And the way they learn to be open is from the parents. And the way they learn that, it starts really early when Junior says, I don't like eggs, and they throw the egg across the floor. Well, what's easiest for the mother, because the dad is asleep, is give him something else. You lose. By the way, I don't care if you lose. Child loses. The child is losing, is learning to make choices about things that aren't important. That's the danger. We move on. Open. You know what I mean by openness, flexibility, contentment? Meaning, if you come to my house and I feed you filet mignon, which I'm not going to, or if I feed you hard-boiled eggs, or if I feed you a chicken, you're just happy with life. You know when you learn that? Every depressed person in this church is a person that makes way too many decisions about way too many things. And they cannot be content with whatever state they're in. That should have been learned up front. Just happy. You enjoy life. You enjoy whatever you're eating. Whatever you're doing, you enjoy it. There's also this concept of thankfulness or gratefulness. Thanks, Mom. Let's give thanks to the Lord here for the food that God has provided today. Everybody that was here last Sunday night, would you all raise your hand if you were here last Sunday night? I want to ask you a question. Now, Mike Hall was there. We went up to Culver's after the church service, and you were there when Brother Boy Atencio, I asked him a question. You saw the places some of those people were living if you were here last Sunday night. I asked Brother Boy, in your area of the Philippines, how many of the pastors still take a shower? I said, Timba Atabo, which is a bucket and a dipper. How many of the pastors still take a shower? What was his answer? 95%. Let me tell you something. We have grown up ourselves and our children by not learning obedience and not learning to be content and not learning to be thankful at an early age where nothing makes us happy. I've talked to Pastor Kowak about this. There are people, I don't know why, in this church that I don't think are ever happy. They're just always disgruntled. And there's pastors in the Philippines making $160 a month using a bucket and a dipper for a shower every day, and you're griping. And you teach your children to gripe. No. Number two. This, of course, moves right up chronologically. I'm not going to read the verses for time. We move from there to what I call limited choices. Limited choices. In Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. You'll notice you don't have to read Greek to know that's different than the second phrase in chapter 6, verse 5. Number one, it's a plural word. It also has a plural. The word the is plural. Bare. It's a plural, and it's a different word. It means the overwhelming burdens of life. So, when do we bear one another's burdens? I'll tell you when you bear one another's burdens. When there is a tornado that hits right out here by Rochelle, Illinois, then you bear your children's burdens. If your children are 25 and everything they're doing is right and the tornado hits their house, or how about this? What happened in... wasn't in Kathmandu, but it was in between Kathmandu and another city in Nepal. What happened yesterday? Who knows how many people died? The number just keeps astronomically going up. That, look at me, folks. That's a time for you to come alongside and to help somebody with their burden, including your children. But your children must learn the next verse. Look at verse 5. Let's get rid of the man thing. For everyone, male or female, shall bear his or her own Different word. They're individual, and this, the Greeks use this and the Romans for the soldier's field pack. Meaning, you're in the military, you got to carry your own stuff. I'm not carrying your stuff. You carry your own stuff. Look at me. You get yourself out of bed. Take care of your finances. Keep your emotions under control. Parents are successful or not successful if they understand the distinction. So if a child comes home and it's a special occasion and there's a 13 things that go wrong, mom comes in and helps the children. But somewhere along the line, you gradually break away where the children can carry, look at me in the eyes, their own burden. But if you're a mother that came out of dysfunction, what you do is more about you than the child. So you're taking care of the child. Child not doing anything. But the problem is the child has to do something someday. Your job is to kind of limited choices. That's the idea. Romans 14 says what? So then every one of us shall give account of himself or herself to God. I say in your notes some introductory thoughts. This always deals with the good, proper, and right choices. That's the first thing we began with. Next page. We have already said this, but I'll say it again. This can start as early as 3, more or less, for some children, 4 to 5 for others, according to the child. And I don't know. How about this? I'm going to give you some suggestions. If we had time, we would spend more time letting you talk about this. I'm going to give you simple suggestions. And some of these I've actually heard from people in the church. The child chooses between 3 or 4 outfits as a whole. So mom lays out on the, you know, here's a 4-year-old child or K-4, K-5. Now there's 2 different extremes. There's one mother at 16 is still telling that child what to wear. Do you understand, mothers, if you're doing that, how much of a failure you have been? Please look up here. Do you understand? You're not helping the child grow up. But at 4 or 5, mom lays out, somewhere at K4, K5, she lays out 3 sets of clothes. Susie, which set of clothes would you like? So the child is doing what? But it's limited choices. It's not whatever, because the other extreme is, honey, what would you like to wear? Now, at a certain age, a child can do that, can't they? Choose their clothing? They ought to be able to. 4 or 5, that'd be scary. That'd be scary. I don't even choose my clothes. Do you know I don't choose my clothing? One of the kids, was it one of your kids? Who was it? Did you tell me this? Said, Pastor Warren likes gray and black and white. Do you know why? Because I don't choose my clothing. I have 20, 25 white shirts, 20, 25 black pants, about 8 different kind of gray coats that I wear every day to school. You say, well, I can't see colors. And I'm not showing up. I've done it before. I've shown up at church back in the days when I wore gray, and I used to wear like tan kind of suits. You ever cross your legs and you look down there and realize you're wearing a gray suit and there's brown socks on? I gave up on all that. It's easier for me. But hear me, friend. You're starting to train your children. Let me give you a couple of other ideas. Again, how about this one? Somebody mentioned this to me, and I love the idea. The child chooses the menu, what they're going to eat. Like, what would you like for supper tomorrow night? But you do this ahead of time. Meaning, you know, you can lay out, again, you can lay out some options. Monday night, Junior gets to choose what we're going to eat. Tuesday night, Sissy gets to choose. But it's not whatever. Here's some options. We could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Junior, what would you like next Monday? Sissy, what would you like next Tuesday? And they choose the big picture stuff. This is not, by the way, in my family, World War III would happen if a child ever started complaining about food. Period. And they never got to say, first of all, I have a basic rule. You backtalk my wife, your life is going to be shortened in a hurry. I don't play those games. You say, why? Because there was one guy that had a strong will in the family, and you're looking at him. I don't get this backtalking mom, but By the way, but the children learn how to make choices. This is just a small thing you can do when the children are young that works pretty well. In your notes, the child chooses between a walk, a bike ride, a hike. But again, they're not choosing to do nothing or to play video games. They're choosing activities that you've kind of selected, and then you give them the ability to select from these good activities. How about this one? The child chooses ahead of time what to play. Not, it's time to go to bed, and the child's crying, pouting, and throwing a fit. You're actually teaching them something, but the wrong things. So to me, folks, look here. Baby comes home, somewhere between 0 to 3, you're pretty much making the decisions, and you're teaching them important things. It's time to eat your carrots. I don't like carrots. Really? Who cares what you like? Unless you're allergic to it, you're eating the carrots. You say, that's terrible. Shouldn't a child get to be authentic to themselves? Yeah. I think we're seeing that all through our culture, in the chaos of our culture. People being authentic, whatever that means. Somewhere between 3 to 5, then you start giving them limited choices. Next. This is the harder part. No unlimited choices, but as the child gets older, they make many more choices. Many more choices. So you never, I don't think anybody should have unlimited choices. I don't think I do. I don't think you should have unlimited choices. I don't think a child should get to decide where they go to church. By the way, do you know why? We never had that discussion. Why would you have a discussion about church? See, here it is again. This is about mom usually. She's crying. And the junior does, I don't like Pastor Steinbach. Who cares? I never asked my children if they liked the youth pastor. We didn't have that discussion. Can you imagine a kid that grows up that way and gets a job? What's going to happen to that kid? They're not going to like any boss they have. Of course not. So you move to more choices as they grow up. We've already said this, but I'll repeat it. Parents tend to parent in the extremes. And often in response to their own... Would you all read that with me out loud? Read the whole line. You ready? Parents tend to parent in the extremes and often in response to their own childhood. Wow, that seems to be obvious. You either have the total domination by a parent, where this, the child cannot make choices. Child cannot make choices. Therefore, when the child does make a choice, and here's how you know, by the way, when a child has grown up in a home where they never got to make choices. When the child does make a choice, it doesn't make any sense. It's like I'm going to preach on this morning. You say, why do my children make crazy choices? Somebody was dominating somebody. Because look at me, folks. Look here. You got Malachi. How old is Malachi now? Is he that old? Well, so you got Malachi, 20 months. How old is Vivian? Almost a year. You got Elijah that's a month or two or three. Whatever he is. You got the kids. No choices. Look up here. I know this is hard for people that don't think this is important. Have you looked at your children? Have you wondered why some of your adults cannot make good choices? Parents, I hand that back to you today. For whatever reason, some parents want to dominate their children. They think it's their God-given right. So when the child grows up, they make choices that are absolutely insane. Now, I'll just move on. I won't use any illustration. It doesn't need to be illustrated, or does it? Why does a girl that comes to this church, or did, taught in this school, think she should be a cop, and has about zero ability for being a cop, and will do this? I'm going to be a cop! Really? Yes, and I'm going to dunk a basketball. I'm asking you a question. Because she grew up in a home where mama dominated the family. And if you get around mama for 5 seconds, you know it. Girls can't make the choices. They're irrational. They're crazy. You're like, what? You mean you don't know that you don't have the physicality, intellect, or personality to be a cop, but you're going to be a cop because you're going to be a cop. And then good, godly Christians come along and give her a pat on the back and say, that's a great idea. Everybody thinks so, except every police department that she's interviewed with, which has been everyone on the North Shore. Now you say, that's harsh. No, the harsh thing is when you rear children that don't know how to make choices that make sense. And it comes right out of the home. So one group, total domination by a parent. Child cannot make a choice. When the child does make a choice, it doesn't make any sense. It will be, I have in your notes, emotional, irrational, and apart from considering any other options. When you go to McDonald's, and I speak from experience, please look me in the eyes. I speak from experience without getting into any specifics, saying anything about anybody critically. The biggest wars I had in marriage would be going out to eat. It's like, we're at McDonald's. How hard is it to figure out which burger you're getting? Who cares? But if you've never made a choice, that's apparent fundamental flaw. And some fundamentalists are more fundamentalist by personality than conviction. They don't know what fundamentalism is, but they like to control. And being a fundamentalist puts them in control, they think. I'm not a fundamentalist by personality. Going to McDonald's takes 30 minutes, anger, emotions, and listen, second guessing which burger you buy. Really? In your notes. Where do I have this at? Oh, I know what I'm saying. I said often the child is trying to make the perfect choice. They're trying to make the perfect choice. Well, actually, you don't need to put choice here. They're trying to make the perfect, hear the language, the perfect moral choice about choices that are not moral and don't require perfection. That's what I find. When people grow up in homes that are dominated usually by the mother, but by the way, dads can do it too, they're going to Burger King or Taco Bell. And they go to Taco Bell and literally they're trying to, let me make the perfect choice here. Taco Bell? Listen, Taco Bell, as I've said many times, is neither Mexican nor food. Just get something. Get it. They're trying to make a perfect choice because even though they're now an adult, mom or dad is right over their shoulder. And they're trying to make a choice moral that, does it really make a difference if you get to choose? What do they have there? Tacos, burritos, they're all the same stuff anyhow. Let me think. Hamburger, lettuce, tomatoes, cheese? Wow. In your notes. The child will be unable to do triage. That's what I find. You know what triage is? Prioritize things. You know, somebody comes in, they have skin knee, and somebody comes in and has been shot. Probably the person's been shot, might need to take priority over the person's got a skinned knee. Triage. Everything is right and wrong to them. Everything is right or wrong. They learned that from their mom or dad. Even the kind of socks you wear are right or wrong. The kind of nylons women wear is right and wrong. Everything is right or wrong in those families, and those kids can't make choices. Or what they should be able to do is do these kind of things. How about good, better, best? See, a lot of times it's just a matter of what's good, what's better, and what's best, but frankly, a lot of times it's who cares. It's not significant. Let me ask you a question. Can you make choices like that? Everybody look at me. Can you allow your children to say, who cares? You know, where do you want to go out to eat today? Here's 12. Does it really matter? Not to a person that's a control freak or a chaos person. And then when you grow up in that home, that control freak and chaos person's right over your shoulder, so when you have to make decisions, you're... Because they might say something. I want to say so. I've been married 36 years this summer. I'm going to tell you how many times my mom and dad interfered with my marriage. I wish I could say that on the other side. Because my parents reared us. Do you realize at 18 years old, nobody in my family ever lived at home after that? And they didn't hate my parents. They loved my parents. Because we were reared to grow up. All right. The child takes or invests far too much mental energy in their choice. And that's a very profound statement I don't have time to deal with. When you grow up in this kind of home, the child spends so much mental energy making dumb choices, you're just like, so here's the thing. They spend an hour figuring out what to buy at McDonald's. So when they come to an important decision, you only got so much mental energy and so much ability to discern. And all decisions get to be the same. So heaven or hell is the same as Big Mac or Quarter Pounder. You can't do triage. You can't think in your notes. And frankly, they make far too many little choices and are unable to make the big choices. On the other side, there are some that go to total freedom to make any choices. You want to go to school today? I never grew up in a home that you ever asked. I never even asked a question. Church, you want to go to church? I. By the way, I don't. Could you imagine I'm the pastor. I get up in the morning and think, I don't know if I want to go to church this morning. You know, I don't like that co-op guy. Could you imagine me doing, do you know there's people in our church that every week they do these kind of things in their head? Guess what you teach your children? Second guess everything. All right. Total freedom to make any choice. The child grows up chaotic with no moral compass. You could say amoral. Making choices without being conscious. They are even making choices. Making choices without being conscious, they are even making choices and with no thought of consequences. They are unable to make good, sound, sane choices. And boy, if you put those three words together, they make good sense. Good, sound, sane. To me, what do you want your child to do? To be able to make the kinds of choices that are good, sane, sound. That, by the way, look, please, you never have to ask, a person never walks up to you and say, why did you do that? Because when they found out what you did, it makes sense to them. Yeah, that makes sense. Or you're working on a master's degree. That makes sense. you're taking a walk with your daughter. That makes sense. You never hear what I'm going to preach in this morning's sermon. You did what? Look at me in the eyes. You did what? Never hear that. Because a child knows how to make sound, sane, reasonable, good decisions. The basic things, I'm not going to talk about any of them. Money, that's a good place to start. By the way, folks, the kids need to learn how to budget, take care of their money, control their impulses. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that child's going to learn that when they leave your home? They learn that right up front. Listen, my mother will be here this morning. I can already tell you, every nickel I've ever made. Now, we didn't make quite as much back in the dark ages. I remember my first paying job, Mr. Clarence Griesmeyer. He lived around the ridge, good German guy. He came to me and said, he talked to my dad first. I was in between seventh and eighth grade. He talked to my dad to make sure my dad thought I was strong enough to pick up hay. Dad said, well, sure he is. Mr. Griesmeyer came to me and says, I'll pay you two of these per hour. Do you realize what $2 an hour was for a boy in the late 60s? $2? And he said, and we'll feed you. I'd have probably gone for his wife's cooking. $2 an hour and food? Most of my jobs were $1.65 an hour to tossling corn, and there was no food. When I brought those $2 home, I can tell you where 20 cents went. You say why? You tell me why. Mom made sure from the birth 10% goes to God. We didn't even discuss that. My wife and I have had plenty of our own problems, most of them coming out of chaos and control freak, which has made my wife struggle to make the normal decisions of life because you always got the critic right over your shoulder criticizing. Having said that, we've never had a problem with money. Do you know why? She grew up the same way. Tithe. John Wesley. You know what John Wesley said? Not my John Wesley, the original one. He said, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Not bad. Be generous with what God gives you. Make as much as you can, honorably. Save all you can. We'll move on. By the way, I don't even, cooking and eating, I think guys and girls ought to know how to cook. Strange thought, isn't it? Personal hygiene, do I need to say that? Yes, I do. Do you remember in the Navy, fellas? Didn't you know you always had one or two guys that you had to use the wire brush on? Now, I don't know if they can still, can they still do stuff? Jim, I know they did it when you were in. No, of course not. By the way, you're in a small space and a guy doesn't take a shower for 2 weeks, he's taking a shower. Now, the first time he's taking a shower, it's going to be a rough shower. If that one doesn't take, he is getting a wire brush shower. Because he's going to take a shower. You're not smelling that pig down. You say, well, this is dumb. Not when you find adults that can't do the normal, you know, brush your teeth. I know that's a shocking thing. All right, I'm going to quit with one more thought. Your children or your adults ought never to have a choice between right and wrong. Now, everyone look at me. If you grew up, some of you did not. Please hear me. Don't cut me off before I'm done. If you grew up fundamentalist, no fun, too much damn, and not much mental, and you know who you are, which many of you didn't, this is your problem. You tend to give your children choices. Hell or Bob Jones University. If you don't go to Bob Jones University, go to hell. Probably there are other choices. Mm-hmm. Fundamentalists don't think very well. And if you've grown up in that environment, I already know you don't think very well. Because these are the kinds of choices you give your children. By the way, my children went to Bob Jones. If they had gone to Maranatha, I'd been happy. By the way, some of our good kids go to schools right here locally and come home on the weekends, spend time with their family, spend time in church, and do fine. I'm happy with any of that. I'm never letting my children think, I either got to do what Dad wants or I go to hell. Because children might just choose. No choice, limited choices, never unlimited, but good choices, and never to the place where it's this or it's this. Because, friends, God is not that way. There's lots of good options. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be helpful for us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.